views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Hey, welcome to Voices of Women. I just happened to see today is National Pie Day. And that just made me smile because I love pie. I had a picture of apple pie, which I love, and I enjoy making them. Wish I had time today to make a pie. However, I don't. And because it's Women of Wisdom time, and I am busy getting the conference ready. Again, everybody check out the Women of Wisdom conference. It's our 23rd year. Our theme is I Am We, Hearts Connecting Communities. And today, we're going to talk about the feminine energy needed now for social change. We've got some amazing presenters at the WOW Conference who work in the Seattle region for making a better place. And some of the organizations are even national. And I'm going to talk today to Susan Partnow, who's going to facilitate this event. It's February 15th at 1 o'clock. It's called Northwest Women of Influence, Circles of Inspiration. And it's all about the gathering together for social change. Susan Partnow is an organizational development consultant at Swedish Providence Health Systems and has enjoyed being a catalyst for positive change for over 30 years. Her impressive list of accomplishments include co-founding Conversation Cafe, Let's Talk America, the Compassionate Listening Project, Global Citizen Journey, and Seattle Restorative Justice. Susan has a passionate commitment to social transformation, peacemaking, and community building, and she especially enjoys transforming conflict to creative change using restorative circles, open space, and World Cafe. She's also the author of Everyday Speaking for All Occasions and co-author of Practicing the Art of Compassionate Listening. And you can read about her on her website, susanpartnow.com. And she's going to facilitate this workshop for us on February 15th. So welcome, Susan.
Thanks. I'm so looking forward to our event and bringing people together in a circle.
Yes, and not just one big circle. There's going to be many little circles because of how that whole system works. So, and we're going to start off with what we call Jane Talks instead of the TED Talks. And so we're bringing in Northwest women who are leaders in social change in the Seattle area. And then we're going to have tables of organizations that are doing active work, doing amazing work, some for racial justice, some for environment, some for food, young girls, you name it. And if people are listening and you know of an organization who would want to be here, it's for women. But, you know, you can have a couple of people staff the booth and share what you're doing with everybody who's going to be coming.
Yes. You want me to explain how open space works a little bit?
Yes. Yeah. And so besides our talks, we're going to have open space that Susan's going to run. And so I'd love for Susan to share. Yeah. How does open space work?
Yeah. It's just a wonderful opportunity for everyone to get engaged. So you set the agenda and you make sure that whatever you care about is what gets talked about. So we will, we call it opening the space and inviting people to offer a session if they'd like. So if there's something that you think you believe we should be talking about, or something you want to organize, something you want to teach and share with others, or a big question that's burning and you feel we should be talking about, you can propose a session. or you can just wait and hear all the great sessions, and then you get to decide which ones to attend. There'll be two different time slots, and we don't know how many topics will get generated by our circle. There could be 5, 10, 20, and then you'll just decide which ones to attend. Then there'll be all those little circles that you were mentioning, Chris, and out of those we'll have next steps and ways for people to plug in, and we'll come back together in a big circle to learn what's arising. And I think it's a great opportunity for people to get together who haven't necessarily connected before. I'm excited about the blend of some of the people who attend Women of Wisdom, and then some of the social activists and social change people who are going to come together. And I think when we bring together people for the first time, all kinds of new possibilities arise, and it'll be exciting to see what we come up with.
Yes, and I'm excited about our speakers. It's interesting how it came together, and we've got all age groups. We have a college student, you know, on up to somebody, I'm not sure if they're 60s or 70 or what, but and almost every age group. I know there's somebody in their 30s or somebody in their 40s or somebody in their 50s, you know, and different backgrounds, you know, Native American, African American, and everything in between. I don't know. I can't even think right now, but it's a good diversity, and they all are coming with their expertise and the things that they feel passionate about. And that's exciting. For instance, we have Christina Orbe, who has FEAST in Seattle. It's FEEST. And she leads teens in school. After school, they come and they learn how to cook. And it isn't about cooking. It's learning about sustainability, learning about foods, learning team building. They work in teams to create the recipes and to cook the food and eat in community. And I was just so impressed. I went to visit one day, and I loved it. I want to keep going besides the good food. And so just really interesting things that are happening out there, and to have these women come and share them with everybody. You know, it gives me hope, and that's what I hope. My hope is people come and also get that inspiration and that hope that, you know, hey, yeah, we can make change. You know, we don't have to be stuck with the old. We don't have to be stuck in things that don't work. We can make change. We can create that change. And the system that you've created for us of doing the open space is an avenue to make that happen. So how did you come up? You know, I know you're involved in open space, and you've been a facilitator, but you also co-founded so many others, Restorative Justice Circle. You've been part of Compassionate Seattle, Compassionate Listening Project, and World Cafe. What drew you to do all that?
That's something I'm always asking myself, because I do feel so drawn, and I think I believe that we all have such great wisdom and capacity, and that there's, in fact, already amazing, wonderful things happening, and what we need are structures, simple structures, places, and ways to come together to tap into that shared wisdom and the natural hope and joy and creativity that we have together. So I've been drawn over the years to so many different ways of convening. So I want to make clear, I did not create open space. I facilitate it. And it is a very powerful way to tap into the energy in a group. And so it's my profession in organizational development, as well as my passion in the dialogue and deliberation community. And I'm always looking for easier, simpler ways. I like to demystify it. You don't need to be a professional. We used to say with Conversation Cafe, which is the simplest model, if you can host a dinner party, you can host a conversation circle. And so there's a very simple structure that brings us together so we can each be heard, we can each feel empowered, and give us the space to be a little more thoughtful so we dig deeper beyond the words. So many of our meetings and our talks, we say the same old thing we've always thought and we've always said. So with a little bit of a structure, we tap beneath that and get to something much wiser, deeper, more creative and innovative. And that's what all those processes do.
Yeah, and it's exciting. And, you know, when you, like we do circle work at Women of Wisdom, and when you work in a group like that and you get those creative juices flowing and the ideas flowing, everybody gets excited. and everybody contributes their thoughts and their ideas. And, you know, I can come to a meeting and think I have this idea and how I see it. And when I bring it up, when other people put their two cents into it and their ideas, it becomes much larger than what I pictured on my own. It improves. It just, you know, and it's exciting because I love that co-creating feeling. And to come away from meetings like that where you get so excited rather than the dull, boring meeting and you leave, well, why did I go there?
No, it's really to locate and build on the energy and unleash our creativity and our empowerment. And I think in our world today, that's so complex and sometimes we can feel so overwhelmed. When we come together in community like this, we build our capacity to really innovate something new, and we feel powerful and hopeful, and it's just, it's so important. And I do think that what we do at our local level is the key for social change and transformation. And there's already so many amazing things. Like, I loved what you were saying about the Feast Group. I didn't know about them. And what else? All the amazing things that are happening. So how do we make these seeds of possibility visible to each other, and then grow this entire garden together, and really harvest and enjoy the banquet and keep building the next crop.
Yes, and to be a part of that is exciting. And one of the things that we hope to come out of it is people may have some great action ideas, and the other people can get excited. And what will happen after post-conference, we don't know. And it's open. It's open for anyone to make suggestions and say, hey, let's create a group. Let's do this. Who wants to join me? And that's that space that we're creating that allows that to happen. Well, this is Chris Danis. You're listening to Voices of Women. We're going to take a short break and come back and talk more with Susan Partnow.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
It's here, the 23rd Annual Women of Wisdom Conference, February 12th through the 16th. This year's theme is I Am We, Hearts Connecting Communities, with special guests Jean Shinoda Bolin, healer Patty Conklin, Penny Pierce, and over 40 experiential life-changing workshops and inspiring evenings, all individually priced for you to create your unique conference. Evenings open to men. Find out all the details at www.womenofwisdom.org. Watch for the early bird specials all through December.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I just want to correct that it was an old ad since it said the specials through December 31st. What we have now is Bring a Friend special. And you can come to this event we're talking about that Susan Partnow is facilitating. You can bring a friend for 40% off and any half-day workshop, which is all day Saturday through Monday morning. Any half-day workshop, you register and you bring a friend for 40% off. So check that out on our website, womenofwisdom.org. So we're back here now with Susan Partnow, and we've been talking about, you know, this process of open space and what we're going to do at the conference, which, you know, I hope we get a large group of women and that people get it, that, you know, this is an exciting event and different for what we have done in the past for Women in Wisdom. It's the only event Sunday afternoon. Usually we have 4 to 6 workshops, and so we're putting everybody in the same room so that we can have a real exciting day. And so, Susan, you're involved in so many else. Part of this, too, leads to, you know, one of the things that we've talked about is the feminine energy needed now for social change. And what's so, how are you seeing it different than, say, 10, 20 years ago in the social change activist arena?
I think we've learned so much about how together we are stronger, and we need that empowerment of everyone. And working in that network circle way, not in an old hierarchical way. And I think this is where our natural tendencies as women, or I should just say as the feminine energy part of us, is really called for. It's time to shift the paradigm in every arena of our world and how we interact with our world. And I think it's that time to touch the feminine from our Mother Earth and really respecting and honoring Gaia, not just seeing the Earth as something to be taken advantage of and use resources, but to really honor would be one example of that feminine energy. And I think in our social change work. So, for example, an area that I'm very interested in called in right now is the paradigm shift needed in our justice system. So the way our justice system works comes from that hierarchical world that there's, you know, we want to find what's right, what's wrong, who did it, how do we punish them. Just think of a courtroom and how it is set up for the judge to be in charge of all, sitting up there apart from everyone, and there's even a, it's a very intimidating environment. But another way to approach justice is community-based, where the goal is to restore relationships and really understand what was the harm done, how have people been impacted, how do we repair relationships and hold each other accountable. So the key is to maintain the connection. And I think that a lot of our skills and ways of being together and drawing on that feminine energy is really a source of that restorative approach to justice as well.
Yes, and you know what I know about it too is that the feminine energy is about the process and honoring all the voices, and it's very intuitive about it, and it's not so much, you know, the masculine is about the product, the end result, and getting there as fast as you can, and in that, you know, that things get marginalized. People get marginalized because it's that quick action step and doesn't allow for everybody's voice to be heard. It doesn't take the time. And we're so impatient in this society, you know, to get it done now, make the decision, do it right. And then we end up, you know, it's like getting hit on the head with a 2x4.
Right.
Because you know, take the time and go through the process first and probably be easier in the end and you'll have better results.
Absolutely. And preserving people and community, and we really need to rely upon each other. So I think we've pushed that old model of let's just focus on the results, and we're finding that that's not sustainable and that's not working, so we're needing to find this other way. And I think we as women really need to step into leadership now to trust our deepest knowing that, in fact, the process and relationships are not only as important, but probably much more than any outcome or product. And so we really need to step up.
Yes, and there are studies now that looking at companies that honor the process and honor people and even have more women on their boards, they have better bottom lines. They have a successful company. And so it kind of rules out that old thought of, no, you got to, you know, it's the money, it's the, you know, bottom line,
right,
how much money you make. It's not working anymore. And, you know, and people are leaving corporations because there's that, you know, people want to feel fulfilled and that they're doing something important in their lives. It's meaningful for them. And it's hard to do that in our corporate structure where it's about the product and the bottom line. And when you bring people in to be part of it, then it makes it exciting for them. They're part of the process.
And it's just making me think of the younger generation where I think they are much more balanced and whether male or female have more access to the feminine energy and understanding this about process and quality of life. And they're not going to stick around in an organization that doesn't honor more of that.
No, and they're not. I was reading an article, the frustration of managers of, you know, these people, do a job 6 months a year and then they leave. And how do you keep this? They know here's this creative, great person and they can't get him motivated to work and really be there in the company. And the suggestion was, well, move them around, get them trained and get, you know, activate them in different areas so that they're learning and they're feeling part of it. And, you know, think about ways you can retain them, because if you just keep them in the same boring job, they're not going to stay.
Right. That's right.
That generation is not going to stay.
They aren't going to stay, and they're going to bring a lot more creativity and possibility to all of us because of that, because by moving around, there's a lot of cross-fertilization.
Yes, so I love it, you know. Yeah, we're kind of, both you and I are at the age of mentorship, you know, and yet I feel like we also get mentored by them. It's intergenerational, and we learn from each other, and that's exciting. I love being around the millennials and 30-year-olds and seeing, you know, what they're doing, and it gives me hope, too.
It does.
Yeah.
I hope a lot of young people will come and join with us at this open space.
Yeah, that would be fun. And so tell us a little more about the restorative justice circles, because that's like a system of how to resolve conflict, too.
Yes. Yeah, so we know we all have conflict. I mean, that is just a normal way of life. So especially any group or organization will. And what we're working from, Seattle Restorative Justice, is a community-based organization just emerging to help other communities find a healthy, positive way to respond to conflict. So we're helping to build capacity, training, mentoring, developing facilitation skills, help a community to think through how do they manage their conflicts and what about that is working and what's not working and what would the ideal look like for them and how could we help them develop systems, skills, and structures that enable them to have a way for conflict to be a positive source for transformation. Because conflict is just an indication that there's something not quite in alignment, something needing attention in terms of relationships. It's often a cry for intimacy and connection. So truly we want to recognize and honor conflict as an invitation to investigation and curiosity. So one process that I'm especially passionate about is a restorative circle coming out of the work Dominic Barter did in 16 years work in the favelas in Brazil, where the community develops their way of coming together. So you bring everyone together, both the author of whatever event might have happened that is disturbing and the receiver, the person most greatly impacted by that event, but also the community, because it's never just between individuals. There's always more people impacted. And so you bring the whole community together in the circle and have a dialogue where each person gets to be heard about how they're impacted by this event, where they are right now, as well as what they were seeking when they chose to act. And through that, shared understanding is developed and people can then take responsibility. And then with that sense of being reconnected and having that understanding, they can figure out what actions would work for their community to heal the wrong that was done, to hold people accountable if there's some repair, literal or financial, that's needed, actions to restore relationships and trust. So it's a very creative, shared power way of a community coming together to learn from their conflicts and build an even stronger community.
Yes, and you said a couple of things that were very important to me, the words of curiosity, you know, to go into these conflicts with curiosity. Why did that person say that? Why am I feeling this way? Why are they reacting to me? You know, be curious, because you may be reading things into it. You may not really understand where they're coming from. And if you're curious and ask questions, you might discover you really weren't in conflict. There was just a communication glitch, you know,
right.
And that's often the case. And then the other thing, too, is trust. And these circles, like our circles of Women of Wisdom and running the organization, we have been doing this for over 10 years now. And the trust that we've built, so even when new people come in, there's that feeling of trust. And so we're working through our conflicts because we have that trust, and you build that in the circle, you know, sort of a safety net within that circle to have that trust that, so, you know, because people will share when they feel safe, when it's safe to share what they're really feeling.
Yes. That's so much, all of these structures that, you know, before the break, I was talking about my draw to setting up a structure where people can feel safe and have the space to be heard. That's the key. And I know the Women of Wisdom circles are an awesome thing.
Yes, and all the work that you're doing is awesome. And I know you're part of Compassionate Listening Projects, too, and we don't have time to go into that today. But I so appreciate you being a part of Women of Wisdom and bringing your gifts of facilitating open space and I think we've planned a very exciting day. So, you know, my hope is women will come, because it's time for us to step up into leadership. You said that. I say it. Dalai Lama has said it. So, you know, Western woman's going to change the world. And, you know, and it's our time. And you're hearing it and seeing it all over. You know, if you're on Facebook or emails you get from people, you know, it's time. And we don't do it alone. So that fear of women being leaders is that sense of it's a me, you know, and that's why it's I am we. Our theme is I am we. It's about us stepping up into leadership. Well, we've got to go for our next
break.
So it's great to have you on the show, Susan.
Great. Thanks so much. I look forward to meeting a beautiful circle of new people.
Yes.
All right.
And that will be, thanks. That will be Sunday, February 15th, Northwest Woman of Influence. Look for it on our schedule at womanofwisdom.org. Okay, we'll take a break now. We're going to come back and talk with Joe Jason.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
It's here, the 23rd Annual Women of Wisdom Conference. Join us Valentine's Day Saturday. Inheritance Maiden Mother Crone by Sinner Saint Burlesque will entertain, challenge, empower, confuse, embrace, and deeply engage the audience, weaving feminist activism, international dialogue, and our sensory exploration for both ancient and modern myths about the feminine. Community-building events include Open Space World Cafe dialogues with inspirational Jane talks to explore issues important to women, and a teen activist panel interwoven with intergenerational dialogues. Find out all the details at www.womenofwisdom.org. That's www.womenofwisdom.org. Watch for early bird specials throughout December.
Always inspiring and uplifting, Brenda Thine spreads love and light wherever she goes. Enlightening, empowering, and encouraging readings, Brenda connects with your guides, angels, fairies, and loved ones who have crossed over to provide you with the highest guidance possible to enable you to live your highest truth and maximize your potential. Always light-filled, a session with Brenda will have you feeling wonderful, centered, and ready to take on anything. Schedule your session now at brendathine.com. That's Brenda, THYNE.com.
Get Sophisticated with David and Philip Zarza. David and Philip touch on topics such as human potential, spirituality, pop culture, and purposeful living. Experience an insightful reading from David on what the universe has in store for you, or reconnect with a departed loved one. Philip can look into an issue or anything else you may be dealing with. Go to GetSophisticated.com. That's SOPHISTIGAYTED.com or call 206-420-8660.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm now bringing on my next guest is Jo Jason, who's also a Woman of Wisdom presenter from New York joining us. Jo Jason is an internationally loved painter and teacher of the divine feminine and the archetypes. Her paintings and products have helped thousands of women all over the world to become more inspired, empowered, and healed by the awakening of their own connection with the goddess inside themselves. And you can check out her work, beautiful artwork, at Jo Jason, JoJason.com. She has given a workshop on Sunday, February 15th in the morning, Attaining Self-Love Through the Sacred Feminine. So welcome, Jo.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yes, well, first, I always want to hear people's stories. So obviously, I'm sure you have a story of how you became an artist. And when did you know that that's what your calling was going to be? Were you always into art when you were a child? And
From very young age, always was drawing, always knew I was going to be an artist. I don't remember not being. I went to art college for 1 year, and I hated it. And actually, I left. I dropped out of college and got a job and moved to London and didn't paint for quite a long while until I couldn't stand it any longer. And then I moved into the decorative painting world and became a muralist and a faux finisher. And I did that in London and then moved to Sydney and I did a bit there and then moved to New York in 99 and had a mural business, mural painting business, up until about 2007, when I got a very, very strong calling to connect with the goddess, although I didn't quite understand the concept of it properly then. I was getting a lot of different messages and a lot of different pulls to express that energy in various different ways. And it kind of coincided with the breakup of my marriage, or the breakdown of my marriage, rather. And I look at it now and see that it was one chapter closing in order to bring in a new chapter and a new purpose. So I left the mural business and I started painting my own paintings and didn't quite know where it was going to take me. So it's been an interesting ride.
Yeah. So tell us about this. Painting now the sacred feminine, and obviously that was it's kind of like we always have our first calling and our second calling, and this is your current calling of painting the sacred feminine. And what was that big aha that came to you that was what you were meant to do?
Well, the first series of paintings that I started to paint is my chakra, goddess chakra series of paintings, which is quite well known now. And I have a meditation kit and a deck of cards based on them. And they were painted really purely for my own healing. I was working through my own healing of the chakras, and so I was expressing that, and they were coming out on the canvas as goddess type figures, and it was quite profound the way they came out. And once I had done that series, I then, you know, felt a great pull to create things associated with that, like chakra oils and chakra kits and various different things. And then I started to receive messages from I guess archetypes or energies that I had been connected to as a child, but had never really communicated with in any way before. And the first one was Guinevere, I've never painted a painting so quickly before. She came out in 5 days, and normally my paintings take a couple of months now to come out. But she just flew out in 5 days, and that was the beginning, really, of I think an opening up of receiving information to be able to express these energies and the wisdom that they carry onto the canvas. And so it just really snowballed from there. The next one was the Magdalene. And so, you know, the Sacred Feminine series just kind of was born by itself without much thought, really. It just became.
Well, it's like you're getting a message, you know, from the universe. This is
right.
You know,
I think it's, and as long as I was listening and I was obedient to what I was being given and being shown, the rest followed. Like, I didn't really have to plan it too much. I was always given the right information. So after a while, I think after the third one, which was Bridget, I started to relax into it and trust the process. And I was told very clearly that there would be 13 in this series of paintings. And I'm now on... I think my last one was number 9, which was Morgan Le Fay. So,
and you say they take several months now for you to do.
They take a couple of months. I mean,
yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
My life gets in the way. I don't have the luxury of painting every single day, unfortunately, although I would love that. And so time gets in the way, but also the process of me, as I hold their energy in that time frame, it's a lot more complicated than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not entirely sure why. I do think that each time, you know, a new one comes through, there's almost like an initiation, or my vibration gets raised a little bit through it. So, yeah, it's usually about 2 months, and sometimes it can be a little longer. So
so it's interesting you say how in your process that your vibration gets raised, and I can understand that you're in this creative force, and it's like you're downloading information, and there's archetypal information, you know, and you're interpreting that and putting it on into art.
Right.
How does that respond then? How do people respond to that in seeing your paintings or owning one, or, you know, sitting
right.
in front of one, and
right.
how, what is your,
well,
what is your reaction?
I would never have believed it had I not witnessed it. I travel the country doing a lot of expos, a lot of mind, body, spirit, holistic wellness expos. And so I'm constantly in a position of being in a booth with my paintings behind me and my products on the table or whatever. And I would never have experienced this had I not had the privilege of doing these shows. The reactions that people have to the images, and it doesn't have to be the original paintings either. It can be prints as well. But the tear. I constantly have people breaking down, and also what tends to happen is, they get pulled to one, and then I will receive the message that they need for whatever is going on in their lives at that point. it's usually because they were being called to work with that this energy, or being called to learn the wisdom from that archetype in their growth, for their growth, for their own spiritual healing. So it's an amazing process, and I never foresaw any of this. Never thought that any of this would happen. But having witnessed it now so many times, it's I'm in awe. I mean, I just sit there and watch what happens and give the messages if there is one, and let the process happen. But it's a beautiful thing. It's a great honor.
Yes, well, and then without you knowing it, you've become an intuitive reader for people.
Right, it doesn't start off like that. Yeah, although, you know, if you came to me in a different context and expected to have a reading, I certainly couldn't give you one. So it's really when I'm in that mode, or I have those energies around me, or and I certainly would never want to be a reader either, and that's not my calling. It's not my purpose at all. But usually the paintings speak for themselves. The energy or the wisdom that is meant to be imparted to someone else usually is, it's just given visually. You know?
Yes, and people get that. Well, this is Christina from Voices of Women, and we'll take a short break and come back and continue our discussion with Joe Jason.
It's here, the 23rd Annual Women of Wisdom Conference, February 12th through the 16th. This year's theme is I Am We, Hearts Connecting Communities, with special guests Jean Shinoda Bolin, healer Patty Conklin, Penny Pierce, and over 40 experiential life-changing workshops and inspiring evenings, all individually priced for you to create your unique conference. Evenings open to men. Find out all the details at www.womenofwisdom.org. Watch for the early bird specials all through December.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Change makers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. So we're with Jo Jason. She's an artist out of New York. And tell us a little bit. So you're doing a workshop at the conference, Attaining Self-Love Through the Sacred Feminine. So let's talk about that, the connection of self-love through the sacred feminine, which is also through, you know, your art.
Mm. Well, when I was painting each of these archetypes, these energies, they would give me, after the painting was done, they would give me a message or like a prayer. It was, I guess, a prayer with some wisdom in it. And I created prayer cards for each of them. And it wasn't that long ago I realized that all of these prayers or all of these wisdoms were really about learning to love yourself, learning what self-love is. And there's a lot of misconceptions, I think, in this new age industry about what self-love is. And these were incredibly powerful messages. And so I created a workshop based on these prayers, based on these messages from each of these archetypes. And it's beautiful. It hasn't come from me. It's come from them, which makes it a little more special, I think.
And so is that something that you'll lead people in the workshop? Some of the work is finding these messages?
Yeah, we're going to discuss each one separately and how difficult or how easy or how we can use that wisdom in our lives to move towards a better place for self-love. There's a meditation that I was given based on that that I'll be doing at the end of the workshop to kind of ground it in everyone's bodies.
And a little bit of artwork that people get to do. People love to be creative and come away with something that they've created. That's always, you know, been a plus in our workshops.
Right.
Because our conference is very experiential. I'm just curious, you know, there's these themes, the images, the sacred feminine, the archetypes. Why do you think now? Why is this coming forward in you now? In the sense of the collective consciousness.
Well, in the collective consciousness, there is a return of the feminine, as we know, people who are tapped into that. So there is a rise of the feminine power and purpose into people's consciousness. And so it's perfect timing. I mean, I didn't plan it. They did. So... but we are, you know, as women, we are expressions of this feminine. We're expressions of this, what some people call the goddess, which is really just the feminine aspect of the divine or the feminine aspect of life. And so we're expressions of that. And so it's very timely that this work is coming out now. And you know, artwork, visual imagery can affect you so deeply, more than words in a book, I think.
Mm-hmm. And we put ourselves into it too. We're interpreting it. We're sensing. What are we feeling from this?
Absolutely.
From this artwork.
And we have our own filters and our own experiences, and so we. We'll all experience it in a slightly different way, but we'll all hopefully get empowered, and it will rise us up. It will help elevate us just that little bit, which is its purpose.
Yeah, you mentioned yourself and raising your vibration, and then and that impact it has on others. And what's happening now is a vibration increase in we're sensing it. Everything's speeded up, and that's that vibration. And we have two big workshops at the conference, Patty Conklin doing vibrational medicine healing work, and Penny Pierce does frequency, changing your frequency. And it's all to, you know, how to manage these new frequencies people talk about coming in. And a lot of times people aren't aware of it, but we're impacted by it. Mm-hmm. People may not be, you know, what are you talking about? They might be listening to the show. What are you talking about? But we all feel the sort of speeded up, everything's so fast. And so there is an impact on us. And sometimes, you know, going to art and taking ourselves to that intuitive place can be so, can help you, you know, to kind of breathe into it, to relax into it, to get out of our minds, you know, get out of the head.
In itself, any kind of art is the feminine because it's creative. But it's also an expression of being rather than doing. And so when you're in a place of being and allowing and receiving and creativity, then you are honoring your feminine side, you know, whether you're a man or a woman.
Yes, I love that, and I have a great sense of that too, of being who you are is more important than all the things that we do, you know.
We spend so much of our lives doing and surviving, yes, which is very much the masculine, and very a little time allowing ourselves to just be. So, but you know, that also is a whole new wave coming through into people's consciousness now, to take that time for meditation and for nature and for, you know, breathing. So those things are the feminine, all those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, share a little bit in our last minute about any future projects you have planned.
Well, I've started a sacred masculine series, which I'm going to be working on more this year, which I'm excited about, but also the workshop, the self-love through the sacred feminine, will actually become a book, I'm hoping, once I finish the series, once I have 13 archetypes, 13 wisdom prayers, then I'm hoping to create a book from that. So that's my plan for the year.
Well, that's a big plan, to do a book. I know, but that would be great because, you know, I love it. Like even in the Woman Wisdom book, what part I wanted the creative process to be in there, and that's why I have art from our wonderful artists that we have as part of our community, and poetry and stories, and so, you know, combining your art into these archetypes and writing about it and making a book is great, and I'm sure it'll be a big success because I know you're a fabulous artist, and I want everybody to know that Joe will be in our marketplace too, so people can purchase her art, her prints, and it sounds like you have cards.
Yeah, I have brackets and cards, and I have a small selection of what I sell in my Etsy shop. Bringing a small selection, and I think also my wall hangings will be shown in the art. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Well, check out Joe's workshop, Attaining Self-Love Through the Sacred Feminine, on our website, womanofwisdom.org, and check out Joe's website, Joe Jason, JoeJaySon.com, and you can look at her art and the sacred feminine art that she has created. So thank you so much for being on the show today, Joe.
No, thank you. No, it was wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Yes, I look forward to meeting you soon in a couple of weeks.
Can't wait.
Yes, okay. So again, everybody, mark your calendars, February 12th through the 16th, and Jean Chenault Bowman will be there. She's a fabulous author of many books on the goddess, and well known for one of her first books, Goddesses in Every Woman. Her new book that she'll be talking about is Artemis, the Indomitable Spirit in Every Woman, which is the archetype of the activist, which is kind of what we're talking about here. Women becoming active in the changes that's going on in our world. And also, as I mentioned, Patty Conklin and Penny Pierce are doing their workshops on their healing workshops, and many, many others. There's half-day workshops. There is an evening burlesque show, Inheritance Maiden Mother Crone by Sinner Saint Burlesque. And I invite people to come check out my book, Woman of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. And you can find that on our website, womanofwisdom.org. Okay, everybody, have a great weekend. And next week, you'll be hearing from me talking with Penny Pierce.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.